It's just gone 5 o'clock at Radio Annabelle, broadcasting under our own power live on 1323 kilohertz medium wave 227 metres and 92 megahertz VHF. If you're listening on shortwave on a Sunday morning, you're hearing us through Westside Radio International, and we're coming to you via recorded relay on 6280 kilohertz on the European 48 metre band. My name is Gerard Rowe, and for the next hour, whether you're listening live or on the recording, it's the Free Radio Campaign. We've got quite a lot of interesting bits and pieces for you this week. On the programme, we've got a Sunshine Radio tribute to Radio Caroline, a rundown on some of the pirate radio souvenirs currently available, and also Chris Carey talks about Radio Nova's music policy, and a few other odds and ends we picked up during the week as well. We might even have time for the odd record, and if you'd like to call us, feel free to do so. 746390 is our number. Live in Annabelle, the beating heart of the city, live from downtown Dublin. That's a nice way to get the programme on the road. A bit of a Scottish flavour with that one. Kelly Marie from 1977 and her major hit called Hot Love. We're starting our Free Radio Campaign by doing our usual spot and tripping back 1 year ago in time. On Monday, February the 13th, 1984, Jim Mitchell revealed another amended version of the magical, mythical local radio proposals. This time, six or seven stations were planned, a vast reduction to the possible 30 suggested in the wake of adverse public reaction to the raids of May 1983. Under these new proposals, Mr. Mitchell confidently announced that legislation would come before the Dáil within the next 2 months to wipe out pirate radio. And if he's listening today, hello Jim. Throughout the week and for the third week running, Radio Nova were jammed off VHF. On Wednesday, February the 15th, 1983, the Free Radio Campaign programme from Radio Dublin ended, since I had walked out of the station the previous Saturday as a protest against management decisions concerning the future of Channel 2. No explanation for the programme's absence was given on the air. That same day also saw a write-up in the Evening Herald about the ICBS. The report stated that the station would be ineligible for a licence under proposed legislation which banned religious groups from having a controlling interest in local radio services. And finally, on this day last year, Radio Dublin Channel 2 closed down for improvements to studio facilities and revamping of the programming schedule. That was the explanation officially given on the air, but in fact the second service was being sold off to be run as a commercial music station. Needless to say, it never quite worked out, and Channel 2 bit the dust and slowly went downhill from that date. 6 minutes past five on Annabelle AM, FM, a shortwave. 79 for Debbie Harry leading Blondie most eloquently through their major hit called Call Me. Now, while that was playing, we got a call in from John Quinn and Bluebell with some British free radio news. ARM, Alternative Radio Merseyside, will be back on the air following a long absence. They've been off the air for quite a while. They'll be back on next Saturday, which we reckon is, what is it, the 23rd, 24th, or something around that anyway. Next Saturday for definite, at midday, on or around 252 metres. So that's one for the shortwave fanatics to listen out for, and if you're listening on the west coast of Britain, maybe you might be able to tune in for that. ARM, due back on 252 metres around Merseyside on next Saturday. Now, Declan Trainer is a regular listener to the programme in Drumcondra. He sent us an interesting tape this week concerning Radio Caroline. Now, this is an excerpt from a feature broadcast by Sunshine Radio in March 1984 on Caroline's 20th birthday. Kieran Phillips presented the feature, and we join it with offshore author Paul Harris explaining the merge between Caroline and Atlantis in the early 60s.
In June, the two organisations merged, and the MV Caroline set sail for the Irish Sea and her new position off the Isle of Man, broadcasting as she went.
And then I want to send a special greeting to all sailors of all nationalities sailing on the high seas. Well, from Radio Caroline, good luck and good sailing. Well, that's true. And now to the point, we are passing, at 9:30, we are passing 6 miles south of Hastings. 6 miles south of Hastings. I'm a little bit nervous, you know. That's the first time I'm in Dula.
Well, then
we get the Royal Sovereign. The Royal Sovereign at 10 hours. At 10 hours, the Royal Sovereign. And Beachyhead, people on Beachyhead, you can see your stars at 10:30 in the morning. When you see a high mast, 180 feet long, there will be Radio Caroline passing you.
And Radio Caroline moved up to the Isle of Man. That was Radio Caroline South. The stations continued and were joined by others, Radio City, Radio London, Radio 355, Radio 270. But the government acted in 1967 with the introduction of the Marine Offences Bill, which made it an offence for any British citizen to work on an offshore station. All stations closed down, but Caroline continued defiantly.
This is Caroline South on 259 metres in the medium wave band, the continuing sound of free radio. Now the one and only and your future in commercial radio.
Radio Caroline International, the home of the British
music explosion.
Caroline became the voice of free radio and stood alone against the British government. Disc jockey Johnny Walker of Caroline.
This is a story of man's fight for freedom. The beginning is in the past, the middle is now, the end is in the future. It is a story of sadness and of triumph. August the 14th, as disc jockeys Robbie Dale, Johnny Walker and Ross Brown leave Liverpool Street, London, spurred on toward the sea by the hundreds of cheering people. See them now as they stand on the tender. There are tears in their eyes as their families, their homes and their loved ones are left behind. 3 o'clock on this Monday afternoon and on 266, Big Lil is heard for the last time. Caroline is alone. These three men prepare for midnight. For in a few hours' time, they are to challenge the might and the power of the British government. They will become criminals. Midnight approaches. It is August the 15th. Johnny Walker announces that Caroline belongs to you, that she loves you and she will continue. The Beatles sing All You Need Is Love. These two men sound happy, but underneath they are sad. For they now know that they have passed the point of no return. They are not sad for long. They are joined by other men who also gave up so much to fight for freedom. The seas are rough and cruel. Life is hard. But as each day passes, the moment of triumph grows nearer. The British people rally round. They send food. They send comfort. And they send their love. All you need is love. And love overcomes. The British government relents. Caroline raises her anchor and heads for England. See her now majestically and proudly sailing up the river toward the capital that has welcomed so many victors in British history. But none as victorious as these men. They stand on the deck waving to the millions of people who line the Thames. This time the tears flooding from their eyes are tears of happiness. The insurmountable odds have been surmounted. They reunite with their families, with their friends, with their loved ones. We are near the end of our story. London's skyline has a new landmark pointed toward the heavens. Caroline's aerial. At last, beaming out its love and music to a free and peaceful nation. We have overcome. The battle is over. Free radio becomes a way of life, but never taken for granted. For no man will ever forget Monday, August the 14th, 1967.
But even Radio Caroline died. On the morning of March the 3rd, 1908, shortly after 6 a.m., in a carefully planned operation, both Caroline ships were towed from their positions by tugs owned by the Dutch Weismuller tug and salvage firm. An ironic end indeed for the so-called pirates, ended by real piracy.
Radio Caroline returned many times throughout the 70s and was always successful in attracting a huge following. The 80s started badly for the station, and on the night of March 20th, 1980, the Mi Amigo, home of Radio Caroline, broke her moorings and sank. Her passing was lamented by the millions who had grown up listening to free radio from Radio Caroline.
Radio Caroline broadcasting on 319 metres, 963 kilohertz. Well, we're sorry to tell you that due to the severe weather conditions and also to the fact that we're shipping quite a lot of water, we're closing down and the crew are at this stage leaving the ship. Obviously, we hope to be back with you as soon as possible, but we'd just like to assure you all on land that there's nothing to worry about. We're all quite safe. Just for the moment, we'd like to say goodbye. Tom?
Yeah, it's not a very good occasion, really. I have to hurry this because the lifeboat is standing by. We're not leaving and disappearing. We're going onto the lifeboat, hoping that the pumps can take it. If they can, we'll be back. If not, well, I don't like to say it.
I think we'll be back one way or another.
Yeah, I think so.
From all of us, for the moment, goodbye and God bless.
Caroline has slipped away to a lonely grave. With her she took 16 years of while it's gone away. In my mind I can recall each jingle and DJ. If ships could talk, I guess she'd say, remember me this way.
Broadcasting in 1964 from a ship called the Mi Amigo, anchored off the Essex coast. Sadly, it was from this anchorage that she was torn by a fierce gale during the night of March 20th, 1980, and after running aground, she tragically sank to her resting place on the seabed.
If you were too young to know what this lady gave, sailors passing close at night may hear her bell still toll. Far beneath the raging sea
lies Caroline, the queen of rock and roll.
Meters, 963 kilohertz was to remain very, very pathetically silent for 3.5 years, during which a new ship and the money to equip it was raised. After many rumors, she recommenced broadcasting from the motor vessel Imagine in tribute to John Lennon in August 1983. Radio Caroline for the people of Sunshine today. Happy 20th birthday, and look forward to 20 more.
Make her mine. Her name is Caroline.
dream together, just me and Caroline, Caroline.
Our song is your song.
Your friends on 539.
We care about you.
Radio Annabelle.
That was a recording that Sunshine Radio put out on the 20th anniversary of the launch of Radio Caroline, Kieran Phillips narrating, and the little extracts in the middle there from Paul Harris. I mentioned that he was an author. He's the guy that actually wrote the Broadcasting from the High Seas book, which is the one that we recommend most heartily if you're involved in pirate radio and you're interested in the offshore era. It's available from Anorax UK. We'll let you know exactly what else is available from Anorax UK and Anorax Ireland after we go back to 1977 and remember Baccarat. Minutes past 5 o'clock on All Gold Annabelle on Sundays 1977 for two Spanish ladies that represented Luxembourg in the Eurovision. Try and work that one out. And that was their major hit called Yes Sir, I Can Boogie. We've been getting a couple of calls in regarding Boyneside Radio. Brian Green rang us in from Bayside just before we came on the air to tell us that they're on medium wave on around 273 metres. And we just got a call from Paul Connolly in Talla to confirm that as well. Apparently they're on since last Tuesday or thereabouts with quite a nice signal. As yet we don't know what it is, whether it is the relay that they were looking for from Kells or somebody else relaying them or whatever. If anybody knows anything about that, something definite, or perhaps if somebody's listening up in Boyneside themselves, maybe they'd let us know on that score. Now, we've got some merchandise lists in this week from the two pirate radio publicity organisations, Anorax UK and Anorax Ireland, explaining what they have to offer. We'll deal with Anorax Ireland first. And you can contact them at 310 Collins Avenue West, Whitehall, Dublin 9. Paul Davidson is the man to write to there, and he has probably the largest free radio tape library in Europe at his disposal. So if you want recordings of stations or certain presenters on certain stations, you can drop him a line enclosing a stamped addressed envelope, and he'll send you his very comprehensive list of what he has to offer. He also has lots of lists of all known Irish pirates operating in the Republic, photographs of many stations and studios, as well as stickers and sun visors and all sorts of interesting bits and pieces. But perhaps the most interesting item on offer is the Irish Era video cassette, which is a visual history of Irish pirate radio compiled by Miles T. Johnson. Now, this is a 3-hour feature and is split into three segments, each an hour long. Part one deals with 1978 to 1981, concentrating on Big D Radio with shots of Radio Dublin and ARD's studios as well. Part 2 features the early days of Sunshine and Nova, including interviews with Peter Madison, Declan Meehan, Andy Archer, and also shots of other Nova and Sunshine personalities on the air. The final hour includes a feature on Thameside Radio in London and a guided tour of Radio Nova's base in Rathfarnham given by Chris Carey. The whole package costs £30 sterling, and further details of the tape or any other items on offer from Anorax Ireland are available from that address, 310 Collins Avenue West, Whitehall in Dublin 9, and include a stamped address envelope when writing. From Anorax UK, which is based in Britain and is a totally separate company, I'm sure both companies would like me to announce that. There's no connection between the two of them whatsoever. Barry Johnson has videos of Laser and Caroline on offer, and also some new pirate radio fashion items, including Laser sweatshirts, as well as various stations' t-shirts. And if you have a large bedroom wall, he also has an extensive collection of pirate radio posters, as well as offshore radio history records and books. Further details from Anorax UK at PO Box 539 in Blackpool. And when you're writing to all of these organisations, we would be grateful if you mentioned that you heard about their offers through Radio Annabelle. That's what you're listening to on 1323 Medium Waves, 227 metres and 92 FM as well. 6280 kilohertz on the European 48 metre band through Westside Radio International. Our phone line is open if you're listening live. Dublin 746390. 1979, and a track from her called My Baby Wrote Me a Letter. Back to the radio news. You may remember 2 weeks ago we reported on the fact that Radio Jackie was raided and put off the air. Now, we have since got further details and an update on the incident, and it seems that it was a lot worse than we were led to believe, with the station being hit twice in the one weekend. Here's how Barry Johnson reported the story in his Anorex UK bulletin dated Sunday, February the 3rd. It goes as follows. This week's big news is raids and more raids. The first big raid came on Friday morning at 11:20 a.m. following Radio Jackie's court case, which was adjourned until March the 8th. DTI men and 8 policemen together raided the studios of Jackie. They took the lot, including the books, the telephones and all the records and equipment and the transmitter from a different site. The attack was quite brutal, at least by the DTI men, one of whom was the infamous Eric Gotts. Now, that's a name that is dear to the heart of many a British pirate. Eric Gotts is more or less the leader of the anti-pirate radio league over in Britain. He's involved with the DTI, and this man is a one-man campaign against pirate radio stations. Apparently the lads went in hard and heavy and removed the front door, which was apparently left open for them anyway, and they came from forces at Epsom and Tulse Hill, whatever that is, two areas of London that the police came from, and two budget rent-a-vans were used to remove the gear. No one was arrested, but all were cautioned with the view to prosecution. Jackie returned on the air at about 7:45 a.m. the following Saturday morning, and were off and on during the day as adjustments were made to the equipment. The station was raided for a second time at 2:05 a.m. that morning, and all the equipment was once again taken, including new turntables and a second Alice mixer and cart machines. Further raids were made on other stations around London. Now, at the time, we reported that Jackie was having a staff meeting, and in the latest update, which we got from Anorex UK this week, it appears that they had their meeting and they decided to come on the air on Monday morning and have a final fling at a close down in a blaze of glory on Monday evening. Now, this they did, getting on the air at 11 a.m. using a disco equipment and makeshift gear. They were on 1332 kilohertz medium wave and 103.3 FM, and press and television were reported to be in attendance. The station closed down for good at 7 o'clock that evening, but not before the DTI had got to the 1332 site and taken the medium wave transmitter off the air. The station continued on FM, and all the London papers and several outside London carried the Jackie story, including the Financial Times. So that's interesting, a real legacy of British pirate radio, that Radio Jackie apparently has gone and won't be back after being hit, what, 3 times in the space of a weekend. I suppose it would do a lot to your morale, but let's hope that somebody can pull something together. At one stage it was Britain's only 7-day-a-week pirate radio station. It's about time somebody else took their place. 73 saw that perch firmly at the number one spot for Brian Connolly and the Sweets and Blockbuster. Now we're going to go into an excerpt from the Irish Pirates audio cassette, which is available from East Anglian Productions in Essex. This set of two C90s traces the development of pirate radio in Ireland since 1978. Out of this excerpt, Chris Carey explains what motivated him to open up Radio Nova.
Stereo. Radio Nova came on air first of all in June 1981. It tested for about 7 to 10 days. By about mid-August, we were in full-line programs. We found a formula, we found DJs, we'd made an identity. By Christmas, we were number one.
What made you decide to set Nova up?
Lots of things. I mean, the obvious question is really, where can one set a radio station up where you can just do it? And apart from parts of Belgium, I believe you can do it, or Italy. That didn't turn me on very much. You certainly can't do it in England with any success. I was told you could do it in Ireland. Didn't believe anybody. But I came to look for myself. I found that was exactly how you did do it. Hence, we're here today. We're almost an institution now.
What was the reception like from the audience?
It was pretty good. I mean, I think the thing that turned me on the most to do such a thing, I'd been with Luxembourg and the Carolines, and it's all been much of the muchness, and really myself and plenty of other people just aren't disc jockeys anymore. You've done it and just didn't go anywhere. And local radio in Britain certainly didn't excite me, or I them, so we didn't meet at all at any level. I went to do business in America, and you just listen to how they do radio. And the newest thing there was Clutter Free.
Clutter Free. Nova 88 FM. In stereo.
Yeah, you have intelligent disc jockeys coming in maybe every 9 minutes with the time, the temperature, what day it is, nice voice, very clear, very mechanically good. And then he would play two to three great records, complete hits, no new stuff, no punk or it's hip to do this, you know, really programmed, formulated business. And I became successful on a fiscal front, there's money, by being a marketer. I market things, whether it be computers, television, games, and now it's a radio station. And I just saw radio in a completely different light and thought, you know, I had, up to that point, had never worked on a successful radio station. Radio Caroline never made any money. Radio Luxembourg doesn't make money. Radio North Sea didn't make money. It was just a bunch of people enjoying themselves, usually at somebody else's expense, and all these wonderful ads that are going to come flooding in. And they just didn't flood in. They just weren't there. So the only station I've ever been involved with that's running 9 minutes an hour of advertising that, you know, makes a profit and is successful is Radio Nova, because I think it's marketed properly. We don't play new records. We don't fool around playing records that may be a hit or may not be a hit. And what do you think? We don't. Disc jockeys here aren't qualified to tell me that. It's all done on a computer about what record we should almost play next. Hence, we did it that way. And yeah, we did ruck a lot of people that told me that this was wrong and can't do that. Radio Caroline didn't do it that way, you know. And I just ignored them. And after 3 months, we went out and did research and found that we'd got about 28% of the market. And we'd only been on the air 2 months. And the last lot of research was 41%. That's documented, you know, from a proper research company. And it's been redone since. And the top line figures show that we've got 55% of the market now out of a, you know, 17 stations competition. Not even competition like BBC and Radio 1, but I mean 17 stations that can do what we can do. They can play continuous music. We give away prizes. One could say we buy the audience. We give £100 prizes away at a drop of a hat. But it gets people talking and it's exciting. That's really where it's gone. So the music formula here is different to anywhere else, but it just wipes clean everything. Even the reaction we get from Britain is usually like, more, why can't you be louder? So we try to find a way of having not too much disc jockey, but having enough. If you'd have none, it does sound empty.
What's the philosophy then behind the new departure, which is Kiss FM?
Here we go. Radio Nova started off like Kiss FM and was enormously successful because of its professional attitude to the marketplace, where everything was ice cream and the next record was always better than the last record. And, you know, we don't play again, we don't play new records that may or may not make it. When I was with Luxembourg, when I actually saw another side of professional radio where I'd never seen before, 80 and 90 singles a week being released and probably 24 LPs. Now, I had never seen that amount of music that was available every week. That stands to reason. You'd have to be a mathematician or some godly insight to know what's going to be a hit. So you just don't mess at all. You just play what you played last week. And at the station up the road, that's got this lovely old form, you know, of, oh, a new record by the Queen, we must play it. There's a lovely analogy here. The Queen had a record out last year. You know the band Queen? They made a record called Another One Bites the Dust, right? Enormous success in America anyway, and I think it was pretty successful in England too. 7 or 8 months later, they release, or 3 months later, they release the soundtrack from Flash. Right. Now in Britain, and in Ireland, and all over Europe, all the programmers went, oh, the new one from Queen, let's get it on the turntable first. Let's play it and play it and play it. The thing was ghastly and awful. I mean, it was a film soundtrack. In America, the programmers went, what is that? Dustbin. And the other one just stayed on the playlist because it certainly didn't replace it. And I've adopted that theory that you only put a record on the playlist when it's good enough to replace something you are getting tired of. You don't put anything on the playlist that is slightly dubious, or we're so fed up with the other one, we'll have to play it. That doesn't exist here. The disc jockeys very rarely mention the records anyway. They just talk about other things and the record just comes on, which I think is people are fed up with being told this was number 7 last week and minus B plus or minus a square root of 4AC makes it number 2 this week. And it's just nonsense. Nobody hears it. Nobody wants to hear it. They want to hear quick snippets of what's going on around them, what time it is, what the weather's going to be like, are the airplanes flying? And here's 3 more records that you're going to know the words of every one of them. We don't alienate anybody. Apart from that, yeah, so that's one reason why Kiss has come on, to go back to that original stuff, because Nova has gone a bit of a family entertainment radio station. It caters for just about everybody. We have classical programs on. We've gone a little bit messy, which, oh, I've had to play some lip service to the government and the ethnic groups of Ireland, so we've done that, which has backtracked a little bit from what my original idea was, and that made the audience so big. So now I'd like to go back to Kiss and do a young, fast-moving radio station that just plays music and plays ads and doesn't try to be clever at the slightest. We don't even give information out in Kiss. The news is even cut short to 3 minutes. And I think I'll have it up at about 24% within a month or two.
What about the future of not only Nova, but sort of radio in general?
I don't know, it's a very difficult problem for the Irish government and the Irish people, and for me, we've all got the same problem. What do you do next? It's clear you can't start an IBA here. That would cost millions of pounds because the country can't afford it, and it's certainly totally unnecessary. It's necessary in England, I suppose. You've got a big country, a lot more Africans, Indians, and, you know, you've got all kinds of people living in Britain from the Commonwealth thing. You don't have that here. You have Irish people. So it's not quite so difficult. You haven't got to keep... You've only really got to say, shall we play a few Irish records and keep them? We play enough, and then we play too many, and we get a few complaints from people who don't want to hear it. That's the only problem we've got, really. In England, it is different. So they can't go that way. I would like to see it go rather like America, where, you know, as we do, we own and operate our studios, our transmitter site, we own and operate the building we're in, and we know where we're going, and we can, you know, the cash flow is a lot easier to operate with. Whether we have to pay a license fee. In America, I may be wrong, but I don't think they pay any license fee at all. You know, you have a license, and you can keep it. You can sell it on, but you don't think you make a payment to the government. If you do, it's, I think, just a few thousand dollars a year to maintain the FCC and the, you know, the department. I mean, it's even been decontrolled in America now. They no longer send people out with distortion meters to see whether you're broadcasting distortion. They just worked it out for themselves. You'd go broke if you broadcast the distortion. So the thing is, it's simpler. I think we've been left alone to see whether an experiment will work. You know, we behave ourselves, we abide by all the IBA rules, we abide by slightly different rules of RTE because of the country's constitution, which is a little bit different to England. It's not mad different, but a little bit different. You couldn't advertise contraceptives on Nova, which is perfectly all right on IBA stations, and there are probably things we can't do the other way around. We can, where we're different, we could put a religious program on and take money for it, that's okay. No, that's not against any constitutional laws. The disc jockeys here can read an advert in their own program. We have live ads that are read by the DJ. That's not allowed in England for one reason or another. I know the reasons why it's too complicated. Maybe they're right or wrong. I know that if we do live ads, and they're good live ads, they do sell more products. They do have more credibility when they're read by the disc jockey, who is their friend, and he's always there, and he says, go and shop at Lipton's or something. They go and do it. Put more readily than a finished piece of bullshit on a cart. We don't make a big fuss of it, though. We only have maybe 10% live reads. We give a lot more money away than an average ILR station. We probably give £1,000 a week away in hard cash, which they wouldn't do. They're not allowed to do. They're not allowed to buy the audience in any way at all. I'd like to see it the way it is, but just a bit tightened up. A board of governors that looks after the interests of the states, and that would make some sort of sense, I suppose. Although it isn't off the wall here. You don't get mad political headbanging going on in the air, or people doing ridiculous things. I think you could count on one hand the amount of totally embarrassing incidents out of 17 stations, which is trivia. I mean, I would imagine there's probably more embarrassing things that have come out of ILR stations where they're totally controlled. There's nothing in it. We've never had to sack a disc jockey because he's been damn foolish on the air. Our news is pretty well gathered throughout the whole of Europe.
This is the Nova News at 1.
Same way as any self-respecting pirate station in the past did, which generally comes out better because we're gathering from the BBC, from RTE, which are the biggest two organisations in these part of the waters. We do listen to European radio to see if they've got any better, you know, something that's happened in their own country would be interesting to us. Most people say our news is pretty well presented. It's presented a little bit like ITV news. We don't, our newsreaders aren't particular journalists. They're good readers. They sound interesting. They have nice voices. And then they have the back crew that collate the news and give it to them, rather than put journalists on the air, which a lot of ILR stations do. They do sound flat and boring. And the news might be, the news is the same, okay, as how you present it. I don't turn the news off on Nova because I think it's a piece of work that's done. It's presented in a way that I like to hear it, and a lot of other people like to hear it. We don't put sort of the local colonial sort of voice on the air where everybody has to sound do's and don'ts. Go on, ask me another question. I'm bored of that.
You've said everything.
Hello, this is Dr. Robert Gallico. Sir David Harvey and myself present the classical collection each Sunday evening from 6 to 8. It's an exceedingly fine program. To help you survive while waiting for Sunday evenings, you might try tuning in to the Decky Wecky Brecky show each Monday to Friday morning. It's somewhat lower class, but I do try to inject culture wherever possible. If only he would learn to talk proper, like what I do.
9 minutes to 6 o'clock on Radio Annabelle. That was Chris Carey speaking about the early days of Radio Nova and also his motivation and the ideas behind the programming format at Nova. Now, Nova have hit the news, or be it just local news anyway, during the week. The front page of Southside Express, which is one of these free-handed newspapers, entitles an article called Pop Goes the Telephone, which deals with Radio Nova coming out loud and clear in households around the Ballyboden area on the telephone. Apparently the local councillors, one here mentioned is Councillor Buckley and Councillor Tom Kitt as well, are complaining about the incident. Apparently Telecom Éireann are looking into the interference, which is believed to be caused by a Nova transmission site on or around Three Rock Mountain, according to this article anyway. And they're looking into it, and Telecom Éireann have been trying to contact Nova, but as yet Nova haven't replied. So that's an interesting little feature there. Apparently there's quite an area involved with that, which would tend to suggest that although Nova is illegal and all that, if they're causing interference on such a wide scale, it's probably something to do with the local telephone system up there, that being more at fault than Radio Nova. Although, you know, how can you defend illegal setups? It's a very complex argument, but I would reckon that it's the PNT have to look into that more than Nova, but sure, we'll wait and see what happens on that. Anyway, just coming up to 8 minutes to six, Radio Annabelle, your station, medium wave VHF and shortwave through Westside Radio. We're going back to 1974, an era of love, peace and good music with the Hollies. My favourite oldies from the early 70s, amazing sentiments behind that record. All I Need Is the Air That I Breathe, 1974 for the Hollies. Just before I head off, if Richie happens to be listening, maybe give us a call, lad. I'd like to have a chat with you. And just before I go, Radio Nova, they're splitting the FM these days after Dublin Today, and Dave Harvey played an hour of Frank Sinatra music announcing the 102.7 service as a local output for Dublin last Friday evening, which is interesting. They've also started to announce the 103 megahertz transmitter, which they tended to ignore before, which might suggest keeping an eye on Nova. They could be up to something, but don't ask me what at the moment. I just have an uneasy feeling about them when they start doing things like that. Have a listen over the band the next couple of weeks and see what they're into. Now, a lot of people have been calling me regarding the radio convention that I mentioned in London a couple of weeks back. I heard about it through Anorak's UK, and the idea was that it takes place on March 23rd in London. So far I've heard nothing else about it. I wrote away to the Caroline organisation about 3 weeks ago exclaiming an interest in bringing people over and going over for the crack and all the rest, but so far I haven't had anything back from them, so I'll make a final effort this week to contact a couple of more people in England, because it is getting quite near, and if we're going to organise something, we'll have to get down to it. So if I don't get anything from it this week, we'll say that the thing is off, right? But we'll see how it goes anyway. I'll have to make a few more inquiries and see if I can get details out of the Caroline organisation. So stay tuned for that. If you're interested in British broadcasting as done through the IBA, I'd recommend this year's Radio and Television for you. It's a great book. It's available for £4.81 from Easons, upstairs in Easons in the technical section. And it's packed full of features on all sorts of things, DILR and the latest developments in TV technology. It's very good reading, and if you want to pop in and get yourself a copy of that, it's down in Easton's. Here at Annabelle, we still have some vacancies on the schedule. If you'd like to get involved, send the relevant details to the station manager, Radio Annabelle, 80 Parnell Street, Dublin 1. And finally, Radio West in Mullingar have their new outside broadcast unit on the road, and a very impressive sight it is too, or so I'm told. There are plans to do extensive tours of the Midlands with it, and next week it's due to roll into Athlone. Interesting front on the radio there in Mullingar. So that puts it at 2 minutes to 6 o'clock, time for me to head off. I'll see you again next Sunday. Until then, all the best. Stand by for Greg. From Jared Road to next Sunday, goodbye, good luck, good listening.